Well, good morning, church. It has been a while since I have had the privilege to share with you. Actually, Aaron asked me 6 weeks ago because he was supposed to have been on vacation this week, and that's why he had Dexter preach last week and why I was going to preach this week. But with all of the tragedy that we've had within the congregation, he didn't take the vacation. And I have to see God's finger work, his handiwork in everything that's said and done, because I chose this sermon 6 weeks ago, and my sermon is entitled, God is Good Even in Difficult Times. And as our good brother John Wheeler shared with us during the announcements, these have been some difficult times, very difficult times. And so if you wanted to open your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from Psalm 107 today. Psalm 107. We'll just be looking almost at the entire psalm. It's quite a lengthy psalm if you wanted to follow along. But I want to open up with a congregational response. Let's see how you do with this, all right? And so I will say something, and then the congregation's going to say back. All right, it's pretty simple. God is good, and all the time. Amen. All right, you believe that? Yes. Let's try that again, a little more gusto. That wasn't bad, it wasn't anemic, but let's, God is good, and all the time. Amen. All right, that was good. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, and those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, and from north to south. God is good. And it's easy to say God is good when things are going good in your life. But what about when things are difficult? When there's a lot of trials and difficulty and challenges? Well, the author of Psalm 107 passionately pleads with his leaders to give thanks to God because he is good even in difficult times. And in Psalm 107, the psalmist is going to describe four distinct aspects of God's redemptive and his healing goodness. He's going to show his goodness to the lost, to the guilty, to the sick, and to the storm-tossed. Now, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say that the Lord is good. That Hebrew word, redeemed, is the Hebrew word, goel. And it's a very significant word, full, it's rich in meaning. In the ancient world, if a person was either sold as a slave, or if they were captured by an invading army and made a slave, then that person's kinsman, his closest blood relative, had the right and the responsibility of redeeming him, meaning he would pay his debt and set the man free. And that's best illustrated in the Bible book of Ruth, where Boaz publicly redeems Ruth and Naomi. He saves them from their abject poverty, and he shares with them his wealth and a very bright future. And the best way for me to illustrate this in modern day times would be, there was this little boy who got him a chunk of wood, all right? I think this was probably our brother Webb when he was a boy. All right, he loves doing stuff with wood, you know. And this little boy carved himself out a boat, a sailboat. And, I mean, he put time in that, and he painted it, and he put that sail on it, and he took it down to the river. He had a string on it, and he set that boat a sailing in the river. And it was going so well till a big gust of wind came up, and it snapped the string on his boat. And the little boy ran after the boat, but the current caught it, and off, out of sight. Little boy was just crestfallen. About 2 weeks later, he was downtown shopping with his mother, and they went by a secondhand store. And in the window was his boat. And so he goes into the secondhand store and says, Mister, that's my boat. And the owner says, it might have been your boat at one time, but if you want it now, you got to pay the full price for it. Oh boy, it was crestfallen. But he left and he went home and he wasn't going to give up. And he went through the neighborhood and he did odd jobs. He mowed lawns, he washed cars, he washed windows, he did anything to earn some money. And finally he had the money. He goes down to the secondhand store. He grabs that little boat out of the window. He gives the owner the money. And he tucks the little boat under his arm. And as he was walking out the door, somebody heard him say, little boat, I made you and I bought you. Little boat, you are twice mine. You know what? That's exactly what it means to be redeemed of the Lord for you and for me. Because he made us and he bought us. He breathed into us the breath of life and he redeemed us with the precious blood of Christ. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Deliverance, first of all, for those who are lost. Verses 4 through 9. It says, some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. First picture is that of despairing lost travelers in life. Have you ever been lost? I'm going to show you something that the younger generation won't have any clue what it is. Anybody remember these? Now, don't raise your hands, but on vacation, how many times did these cause more fights than the choice where there was going to be a restaurant or where you're going to sleep, huh? And then you can never get them back together again. If you want to pay the money, you can even get a nice laminated one. This is for the entire city of Chicago. I never went anywhere with the entire atlas, all right? Every state, all right, there you go. You got to have that. Man, I remember I was leading a college group. Every year we'd spend a week in Chicago doing ministry in the inner city. And man, I got lost in downtown Chicago. I was driving, you know, a 15-passenger van. It's full of college kids who are screaming and talking and having a great time, you know. And I had no clue where I was. And all all that I had was one of those fold-out maps, you know, and I'm trying to drive and miss traffic, trying to read, you know, street signs, trying to look at that stinking map, all right, trying to find something familiar, and inside, I am panicked to the nth degree. It's Chicago. I don't know where I am. I hated driving in big cities. It was terrifying. But now, oh, people, I will travel anywhere, any big city with absolute confidence and relaxed state of mind. It's all because of three letters. Everybody say it out loud. GPS. That's exactly right. I love that little lady, all right? Oh, I love her. You know, take exit B in the right lane. Everything I need to know, she tells me. It's wonderful. Man, piece of cake. Wouldn't it be great if there was a GPS for life? It would guide you to make all the right decisions at the right time. Where should I live? Whom should I marry? What college should I go to? What vacation should I enter into? Psalm 107 says that God does just that if we will but listen. It says in Psalm 107, He led them by a straight way. What is the straight way? Well, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter in through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Psalm 119, 105 says, Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. Again, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things, all your other questions, they'll be given to you as well. As we endeavor to walk the road of life, God makes our steps clear. The Bible helps us walk the way that God wants us to walk. I don't know if you ever thought about the different types of walking that you can do. I did a study. Here's all the different words that we use to clarify walking. You can stroll. You can saunter, you can amble, you can trudge, you can plod, you could dawdle, you could hike, you could tramp, you could tromp, you could slodge, you could stomp, you could march, you could stride, you could sashay, you could glide, you could troop, you could patrol, you could wander, you could ramble, you could tread, you could prowl, you could promenade, you could roll, you could traipse, you could mosey, and you could perambulate. You never knew there were so many words for walking, did you? Different words show there's a lot of different ways to walk. But the most important thing is there were walking people where God wants us to walk. And just as this psalm spoke of those hungry and thirsty in the wilderness, there's a longing in the soul of every human being. God's literal guidance and deliverance for the redeemed in the wilderness becomes symbolic of how God delivers the lost, thirsty, and the hungry soul and fills it with goodness. And isn't that what we all want? We all need purpose and meaning for our life, and that's what God gives us. This psalm also teaches us about deliverance for the guilty or the captives. Verses 10 through 16 says, some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands. And they despised the plans of the Most High. So He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. But then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness. He broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. For He breaks down gates of bronze and He cuts through bars of iron. It's hard to admit, but sometimes our pain and suffering, people, it's our own doing. It comes from our own poor choices. Our pain is the result of our rebellion against the Lord. When we are out of fellowship with God, when we are distant from His graces, the result is often darkness and deepest gloom. We become prisoners of our own doing. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. When I think of gloom and darkness, as someone who works in the counseling field, the word depression is the first thing that comes to my mind. Depression is a horrible state of being. It's well described as darkness and deepest gloom. Many of the most depressed people that we know are depressed because they have fallen into patterns, habits, or addictions that have enslaved them. Addiction to alcohol and drugs, pornography and sex, gambling and greed. And it doesn't even have to be a habit. It can just be one really bad choice. Take King David, for example. David was called in the Bible a man after God's own heart. And yet, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, we read about David's lust, his adultery, and his murder of an innocent man, and then his cover-up. But do not think that David got away with this consequence-free. Oh, no. David was plagued by depression and guilt. And we read of it in Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5. And David confessed later, he said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. But then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Now, let me throw a caution out here. It is true that unconfessed sin can place you in a depression just like David. But do not assume that all depression is caused by sin. Most of the depressed people that I work with are simply overwhelmed with life. They're trapped, imprisoned by a gloom not of their own making. Sometimes it's just the weight of the responsibility of the circumstances of life that cause people to go into a depression. Listen to this quote. "I am now the most miserable man living. If what I feel were equally distributed to the whole human family, there would not be one cheerful face on the earth. And whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. I awfully forebode I shall not. To remain as I am is impossible. I must die or be better, it appears to me." Do you know who said that? Abraham Lincoln. The weight of the Civil War weighed so heavily upon him. He went into a severe depression, and for an entire year, they would not let him have any knives or even sleep alone. The Secretary of State would sleep with him to make sure that he didn't harm himself. Depression can be caused by any kind of a significant loss, negative thinking, dire circumstances, or even just the lack of serotonin production in the brain. Whatever the cause, those who struggle still will find themselves imprisoned in darkness and gloom. And I want to admonish you. I want to encourage you as the body of Christ not to be hasty to judge, but be the hands and feet of Jesus. And help them break out of their chains and their darkness. You be the one that lifts them up with an encouraging word or an encouraging action, and they will praise the God who sent you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Deliverance for those sick and near death. Verses 17 through 22 say, "Some became fools through their rebellious ways, and they suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food, and they drew near the gates of death. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent out His word, and He healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy." Again, I just want to say, sometimes our choices and our disobedience to God cause us to be sick and near death. And when I read that, I can't help but think of the person who abuses alcohol, ends up with cirrhosis of the liver. The person who shoots up illegal drugs, shares needles, and ends up with hepatitis C. Or the person who engages in promiscuous sex and contracts AIDS. The person who's addicted to meth totally neglects their health in the pursuit of a high. Maybe you've seen these before. So I want to give you a trigger warning here. If you've got young kids, you may want to hide their eyes. But I want to show you the before and the after effects of what it is to use meth because it's not pretty. Go ahead, throw that up there. It's gut-wrenching, isn't it? But let me share with you some good news, all right? Just as our text says, he sent out his word and he healed them. I want to tell you about one of my former students. Her name is Juliet Rose. She grew up in a family where both her mother and her stepfather were addicts. She was sexually abused at a young age. She dropped out of school in the ninth grade. She became a professional prostitute. She was married, divorced three times, had two children by married men, and by her own confession, she told me she broke every one of the Ten Commandments. She was a meth addict, a dealer. And one day the police broke down her door. Social services took away her two kids because she was not a fit mother. And she found herself in jail facing 12 felony accounts. And that broke her. It broke her. And in jail, she cried out to God. And she repented. And she promised God that she would be a good mother to her boys if she could just get them back. And she would serve God if he would just deliver her. People, 8 months later, she was out of jail. All the charges were dropped. She got her kids back. She enrolled. She kept her promise. She enrolled in Ozark Christian College in my psychology and counseling program. She graduated. And today she runs a wonderful ministry in Joplin called Guiding Light Ministries. You should look it up on the web. Ladies, you should invite her to come and speak sometime. She's got a wonderful, powerful, uplifting testimony of what God has done in her life. And now, because of God's redemption in her life, she now reaches out to women who are abused and homeless and addicted. And she shares the love of Jesus with them. She breaks their chains of bondage and sickness. Ah, people, God is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Last of all, deliverance for those on dangerous seas. Verses 23 through 32. It says, some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and he stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens. They went down in the depths. To their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. And he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people, and praise him in the council of the elders. This last section simply describes people who are simply going through life. They're just doing their job, trying to provide for their families, but the circumstances of life beat them down. These people have not done anything wrong. They just find themselves at the wrong place at the wrong time. Modern example, just take the COVID-19 pandemic. Research from investment bank Jefferies shows large firm bankruptcies more than tripled. They tripled the year over year between July and August of 2020. And that large firm bankruptcies more than doubled through the end of August. And by the end of 2020, corporate bankruptcies in the U.S. hit a 10-year high. People lost income. They lost jobs. They lost finances. They lost personal businesses through no fault of their own. But they need to cry out to God because He'll deliver them. I think of Johnny Erickson Tada. Many of you know her story. When she was just 17 years old, she was out with her sister on a raft in a lake. Family was out camping. They really didn't know this area that well. And not knowing the water, she dove off that raft into only about a foot and a half deep of water. She broke her neck, and she became a paraplegic. And she's been a paraplegic for over 5 decades. She wanted to die. She wanted to commit suicide. But she couldn't even, her arms didn't work, her legs don't work. She couldn't even take enough pills to put in her mouth to end her life because her arms didn't work. In her depression, she had a Christian friend who came and just spent a year with her in the hospital and gave Johnny the encouragement to seek the Lord. And in the end, Johnny Erickson Tada has been leading a Christian ministry, Johnny and Friends, for over 40 years now. Every day, Johnny gives thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love, and she shares words of encouragement to people with disabilities worldwide. God is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God is good, people, even in difficult circumstances. So whatever your circumstances, whether lost, depressed, sick, or simply the victim of circumstances, I want you to know that the Lord can rescue you. The Lord will break your chains, and He will set you free. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." God is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I've asked that Steve and Priscilla, the band, come up, and I want us to sing as our closing the song that we sang about God being so, so good to us. And, you know, if you would like prayer, the altar's going to be open. If you would like for people to pray with you, I'd be glad to pray with you. Our elders would be glad to pray with you. Maybe you're one of those lost or depressed or hurting. The goodness of God is waiting for you today. Let's stand as we close singing this song about the goodness of God. God is so, so good.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment I wake up until I lay my head, well, I will see of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, well, I will see of the goodness of God. You have led me through the fire, through darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. 'Cause I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause your goodness is running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I'll give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I have seen of the goodness of God. Well, I will see of the goodness.